بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، وعلى جميع إخوانه من النبيين والمرسلين، وآل كل وصحب كل ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Praise and thanks are due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. We ask Allah to raise the rank of our Master Muhammad, the last prophet and messenger, his Ahl, companions and followers, and to protect his nation from whatever he feared for his nation. Tonight, inshallah, we'll start explaining the creed of At-Tahawi, which is called in Arabic Al-Aqidah At-Tahawiyyah. The book Al-Aqidah At-Tahawiyyah, that is the creed by At-Tahawi, is one of the most invaluable books authored in the subject of the Islamic creed. In this text, Imam At-Tahawi, may Allah be pleased with him, clarified the creed of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and of the righteous Salaf. A Salaf are those who lived in the first 300 years after the immigration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Medina. So in this book, Imam At-Tahawi clarified the creed of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and of the righteous Salaf as per the methodology of Imam Abu Hanifa, because he was following Al-Mazhab Al-Hanafi, the Hanafi school. And his two companions, Imam Abu Yusuf Al-Qadi and Imam Muhammad ibn al-Hasan al-Shaybani. Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi did not meet Abu Hanifa or his two companions. However, their knowledge reached him through the trustworthy channels of his students. Before we talk about this creed and a biography about Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi, let us explain the importance of learning such a creed, to learn at-Tawheed. Allah the Exalted said in the Quran, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. The scholars deduce from this ayah that the knowledge of Tawheed, to learn about Allah, the what befits him to be among his attributes, what doesn't befit him, which is impossible to me among his attributes, and to learn about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the attributes of the prophets and what is impossible to be among their attributes. From this verse, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ. From the first part of the verse, فَعْلَمْ, which means know, O Muhammad, and stay on this belief that there is no God except Allah. The scholars of Islam said this is an indication about learning the knowledge of At-Tawheed, because knowing about La ilaha illallah goes under the category of learning At-Tawheed, the creed of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. This part of the verse is an indication about learning about beliefs, about the meaning of La ilaha illallah and what is related to that. The second part of the ayah, وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ, which talk about al-istighfar. It talks about al-istighfar. Al-istighfar is asking Allah forgiveness. This goes under the category of al-ahkam, the rules of the religion. The scholars of Islam said, in the first part of the verse, there is an indication about ilm al-tawheed. In the second part of the verse, there is an indication about ilm al-ahkam. And the knowledge about At-Tawheed preceded the knowledge about Al-Ahkam. This is a proof that to learn about the creed of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, to know about the beliefs, is more important than learning about Al-Ahkam. And in this regard, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praised himself for being the most knowledgeable about Allah. Prophet Muhammad said, أَنَا أَعْلَمُكُمْ بِاللَّهِ وَأَخْشَاكُمْ لَهُ. أَنَا أَعْلَمُكُمْ بِاللَّهِ وَأَخْشَاكُمْ لَهُ, which means Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is praising himself for being the most knowledgeable about Allah among all the companions. And he's the most God-fearing person among them, because of his knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Praised are the great scholars of Islam who highlighted the importance of the knowledge of Tawheed, like Imam al-Shafi'i, Abu Hanifa, Malik, Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Ibn Asakir, and others. The importance of this book, the explanation of Al-Aqidah Al-Tahawiyyah, is that Imam Al-Tahawi, who was born in the year 227 after Hijrah, he died in 321. So he lived part of his life in the first 300 years, from 227 to 321. So part of his life was in the first 300 years after the immigration of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he is categorized as one of the Salaf scholars of Islam. The Salaf, as we said, are those who lived in the first 300 years after the Hijrah, after the immigration of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam praised those scholars who are in the first 300 years after Hijrah. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, خير القرون قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. This hadith means the best of the people are those of my century, the century of the Prophet, then those who come after them, then those who come after them. So the century of the Prophet is interpreted by first 100 years. That means the century of the companions, those who saw Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, believed in him, stayed on this belief until death. Those are the companions. The first 100 years after immigration, that's the best century. That's in general. Then the century that comes after that, which is the century of the followers, that's the second century. And then those who come after them, the followers of the followers, so the companions, the followers, and the followers of the followers will form 300 years. Those who lived in the first 300 years after the immigration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those are praised by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In general, as Prophet Muhammad said, the century of the Prophet, the first 100 years, in general we say those who lived in the first 300 are better than those who lived in the second 100 years. Those who lived in the second 100 years, the second century, are better than those who lived in the third century. That's in general. But when we want to talk about individuals, you find some who lived in the second century who are better than some companions who lived in the first century. You find some people who lived in the third century who are better than, for instance, some who lived in the second century or even first century. For an example, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about a person among his companions who stole from the spoils, الغنائم, before Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam distributed them, and to take from the spoils before the Islamic division is a great sin. This is called al-ghulul. After Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gathered the spoils to distribute them among the companions according to the Islamic rules, one of the companions stole from these spoils something. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about him, he's in hellfire. That was a companion, and Prophet Muhammad said about him, he's in hellfire. And when we, for instance, look at Uwais ibn Amr al-Qarani, he's one of the followers. He didn't meet Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was among at-tabi'in. He met some companions. So he was among the followers. Uwais ibn Amr al-Qarani, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about him that he's the best of the followers. So we cannot say, this is wrong, to say every individual person who lived in the first century is better than every individual person who lived in the second century. That's wrong. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is talking here in general. In general, we say those who lived in the first century are better than those who lived in the second century. And those who lived in the second century are better than those who lived in the third century. That's in general. But when we talk about individuals, we do not say every individual person who lived in the first century is better than all those who lived in the second century. That is not true. So the book of Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi is of great importance. Why is that? Because Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi in this book explained the creed of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the creed of the Prophet, the companions, the followers, and the followers of the followers, the creed of As-Salaf, the creed of all those scholars who lived in the first three centuries after the immigration of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi, according to the strong saying of the scholars, is classified among As-Salaf, because as the scholars of Islam interpreted each century mentioned in this hadith by 100 years. So when Prophet Muhammad said, خَيْرُ الْقُرُونِ قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ, how many years? If every century is 100, that makes 300 years. And this is the stronger saying to the scholars, that those who lived in the first 300 years are considered among as-salaf. Some scholars said the first century is interpreted by 100 years, that's the century of the Prophet. The second century is interpreted by 70 years, and the third century is interpreted by 50 years. That makes 220 years. Now, the saying that is stronger to the scholars of Islam is every century is equal to 100 years. Because Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi was born in the year 227, so he lived most of his life in the first 300 years. He died in 321. And part of his life is from the 4th century, and the scholars of Islam said he is anyone who lives part of his life in the first 300 and part of his life in the century after that is still classified as one of the Salaf. So Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi is among the Salaf scholars of Islam. And he wrote this book to indicate the creed of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the creed of the Prophet, the companions, the followers, and the followers of the followers. And this book, Al-Aqidah al-Tahawiyyah, displays the creed of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, what As-Salaf, the scholars of As-Salaf, believed about Allah and about the Prophets and the rest of the matters pertain to beliefs. Al-Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi is Imam, Faqih, and Hafiz. His name is Abu Ja'far Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Salama ibn Salama ibn Abdul Malik ibn Salama ibn Sulaiman ibn Sulaiman ibn Janab al-Azdi al-Tahawi. May Allah have mercy on him. He accompanied his maternal uncle al-Muzani, the most intelligent student of Imam al-Shafi'i, and learned from him. Afterwards, he left the Shafi'i madhab and became a Hanafi. As you know, there are four famous schools of thoughts in Islam: the school of Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, the school of Imam Abi Hanifa, the school of Imam Malik, and the school of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. All of them, regarding the beliefs, have the same belief. They didn't have any dispute regarding the matters of belief. None of them said Allah resembles His creation. None of them said Allah occupies a place. None of them said something that is in contrary to the others regarding the basics of beliefs. All of them agreed upon the basics of beliefs. But regarding the rules, such as matters related to purification and prayer, fasting, paying zakah, pilgrimage, they have some differences. I'll give you just an example to make it clear. All the scholars of Islam said that shaking hands with a marriageable woman is Islamically forbidden, because there is a hadith regarding this. If a man shakes a hand with a marriageable woman, this is haram according to all scholars of Islam. But the difference between them is whether that action invalidates al-wudu or it doesn't invalidate al-wudu. Some said it does invalidate al-wudu, others said it does not invalidate al-wudu. So the dispute is in matters pertaining to purification and prayer and the like. But regarding the basics of belief, all of them have the same thing. He learned from Ahmad ibn Abi Imran and the Hanafi judge Abu Khazim Abdul Hamid ibn Ja'far, who died in 292 after Hijrah, and heard the hadith from him. Hafiz ibn Abdul Barr said, At-Tahawi was among the most knowledgeable people of the madhab of Abu Hanifa, in addition to his knowledge of other madhahibs. Hafiz ibn al-Muzaffar, Hafiz Abu al-Qasim al-Tabarani, Abu Bakr ibn al-Muqri, and others narrated the hadith from him. Ibn Yunus said, At-Tahawi was trustworthy, reliable, and a very pious faqih. None of those who came after him was equal to him. At-Tahawi authored a large number of books in different subjects of the religion. So he was a Hanafi scholar, and he wrote this book, Al-Aqidah Al-Tahawiyyah. And we go, inshallah, now to talk about this aqidah, this creed, in details, because it's very important. And everything that we mention here, as stated by Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tuhawi, is the creed of as-salaf. That means Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. The scholar and competent authority of Islam, Abu Ja'far al-Warraq al-Tuhawi from Egypt, may Allah grant him mercy, said, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. The author started his book with the name of Allah, as is the habit of Muslim scholars seeking the blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the custom of the scholars of Islam to start their writings by writing Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, following in that the methodology of the Quran. If you look at the Quran, every surah, every chapter is started by the word Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Following the way of the Quran, they start their books by saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, by writing Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So he started his aqidah, the creed of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, with this Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Then he says, this is an elucidation of the creed of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, which is in accordance with the doctrine of the scholars of Islam, Abu Hanifa al-Nu'man ibn Thabit al-Kufi, Abu Yusuf al-Ya'qub ibn Ibrahim al-Ansari, and Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn al-Hasan al-Shaybani. May Allah reward them all for their deeds. It refers to what they believe of the fundamental articles of the religion and of what they submit to the Lord of the worlds. The author states firmly that this book summarizes the beliefs carried by all of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, as presented by the three aforementioned imams. Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah are the Muslim laymen and scholars, it covers all them, who follow the creed of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions, and they are the majority of this nation. So the majority of this nation are called Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the followers of the four madhahib of Islam: Shafi'i, Hanafi, Maliki, and Hanbali. Those who follow the four madhahib are called Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, Al Asha'ira, Al Maturidiyya. And we're going to talk about this insha'Allah ta'ala. Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi radiyallahu anhu said that this Aqidah creed is in accordance with the doctrine of the scholars of Islam, Abu Hanifa and his two companions, Abu Yusuf al-Qadi and Muhammad ibn Hassan al-Shaybani. And he said, this is an elucidation of the creed of Ahlul Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. Then he said, in accordance with the doctrine of the scholars of Islam, and he mentioned Imam Abu Hanifa and his two companions. To make it clear for all of you, what he mentioned here is the creed of Ahlul Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. But when he said in accordance to the doctrine of the scholars of Islam, Abu Hanifa and his two companions, Abu Yusuf al-Qadi and Muhammad ibn Hassan al-Shaybani, he meant structuring the words and writing the definitions is in accordance with the doctrine of Imam Abu Hanifa and his two companions. Just the wording. The wording is, so he used the definitions and words Abu Hanifa and his two companions used. But he said, this is the creed of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. This is the creed of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. For instance, Imam al-Shafi'i might give a definition to something. Imam Abu Hanifa might give another definition with a slight difference. Then a person who is following a Shafi'i madhab might give that definition that is stated by Imam al-Shafi'i. Another person who is following Madhab Abi Hanifa might give the definition stated by Imam Abu Hanifa. But both are on the same subject and talk about the same subject, and there is no difference in the basics of belief in this matter. So what he wrote here is the creed of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah that every Muslim should have in his heart. This is a proper creed. This is the creed of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the creed of the companions, the followers, and the followers of the followers. But the wording, he used the word of who? Of Abu Hanifa and his two companions, because he was following what madhab, as we said? He was following madhab Hanafi. So he used the definitions and the wording stated by Abu Hanifa and his two companions. Then he continues to say, guided by Allah, we believe and say about the Tawheed of Allah, certainly Allah is one without a partner to Him. Explanation: the Tawheed of Allah refers to believing that Allah is the only God. This is At-Tawheed. Imam Al-Junayd defined that At-Tawheed as knowing the difference between the creation and the Creator. Allah is God, who has no partner in His self, attributes and actions. So At-Tawheed is to recognize the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah has no partner, to differentiate between the Creator and the creation. This is At-Tawheed. Imam Al-Junayd Al-Baghdadi, who was one of the great scholars and the master of Sufis at his time, he said, At-Tawheed is to differentiate between the Creator and the creation. Believing in the oneness of Allah must be in the heart, along with its oral declaration. Whoever utters the two testifications of faith, no one is God except Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, without believing in the meanings in the heart, is not a Muslim. Some people might utter with their tongues the two testifications of faith. They might say, I testify that there is no God except Allah, and I testify that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. But in their hearts, they don't believe in the meanings of these two testifications of faith. Those are non-Muslims. Some hypocrites in faith who were present at the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who used to display iman and faith, iman, and in their hearts they hid the blasphemy. So they were blasphemers, non-Muslims, but they used to pretend to be Muslims. Those hypocrites in faith are non-Muslims. And Allah said about them, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. Those hypocrites in faith who used to pretend that they are Muslims, but from inside they are blasphemers, they don't believe in what they say, those will be at the bottom of hellfire. And that place is for blasphemers only. The bottom of hellfire. So we cannot consider them as Muslims because they said the two testifications of faith. Some people now say, everyone on earth who says, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, I consider him as Muslim. It's not necessary that everyone who is saying La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, he is believing in the meaning in his heart. Some might say it in their tongues, but in their hearts, they don't believe in these two testifications of faith. So those are not considered as among the Muslims. So they are non-Muslims. Even if they say, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. So the first thing he is saying, we believe and say about the Tawheed of Allah. Certainly Allah is one without a partner to Him. Then he adds, nothing is like Him. Nothing is beyond His power. No one deserves to be worshipped other than Him. Explanation. No one or thing resembles Allah in any way, partially or totally. Although certain terms are used in reference to Allah and in reference to the creation, certainly the meaning of the word when it refers to Allah is not the same as its meaning when it refers to the creation. The existence, life, knowledge, will, power, hearing, sight, and kalam, speech of Allah, are different from those of the creation. When we say Allah exists, I say about myself, I exist. I'm using the same term. Allah exists and you exist. But the existence of Allah is not like your existence. The existence of Allah is without a beginning and without an ending. However, your existence is with a beginning and with an ending. Your existence is with body, soul, blood, veins and bones and organs, and Allah's life is different from our lives because Allah is the creator. All what He created for us, He doesn't need them because He created them for us. We are the creations. We need Allah Azza wa Jal. We need these eyes to see with. We need these ears to hear with. We need this tongue to utter with. We need these hands to catch things with. We need our legs to walk and run. But Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't resemble any of the creations. So when we use the same term in reference to Allah and in reference to the creations, the same term but different meaning. When we say Allah is knowledgeable, Allah knows everything, we say Imam Shafi'i is knowledgeable. But the knowledge of Imam al-Shafi'i has a beginning and has an end. The knowledge of Imam al-Shafi'i increases and decreases. The knowledge of Imam al-Shafi'i develop and change. Our knowledge develop and change. We forget something and we gain new knowledge. So our knowledge increases and decreases. However, the knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal does not change. Allah knows about everything. Before it happens, Allah knows about it. Allah knows about what happened, what's happening now, and what's going to happen in the future. Allah knows about everything. But our knowledge is not like that. So when we say we are attributed with knowledge and Allah is attributed with knowledge, but our knowledge is different from Allah's knowledge. And the one who gives a creation, an attribute in meaning similar to the attribute of Allah Azza wa Jal, that means he is partially associating a partner with Allah. Even if he says, I don't worship that thing, but he gave him an attribute that is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, those, and many of them are in Pakistan, in India, in Bangladesh, they claim, and that's wrong, they say, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knows everything Allah knows. This is kufr. They equaled Allah, they equaled Prophet Muhammad to Allah wal-iyazu billah, by saying that Prophet Muhammad knows everything Allah knows. When we say to them, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't know the unforeseen, al-ghayb, doesn't know about everything about future. He knows only what Allah Azza wa Jal revealed to him. So when he told us about the, for instance, the signs of the day of judgment, the major signs and the small signs, this what were revealed to him through the angel Gabriel, Jibreel alayhi salam. But Prophet Muhammad himself doesn't know al-ghayb. Those people say, Allah said in the Quran, وَعَلَّمَكَ مَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمْ. Yeah, وَعَلَّمَكَ مَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمْ. Allah taught you what you didn't know before. It doesn't say Allah taught you everything Allah knows. It didn't say that. The verse doesn't say that Allah taught Prophet Muhammad everything Allah knows. It doesn't say that. It says, وَعَلَّمَكَ مَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمْ. Thinks Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't know. Then Allah Azza wa Jal taught him through the angel about these things. But it doesn't mean that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knows everything. Allah Azza wa Jal said in the Quran, قُلْ مَا كُنْتُ بِدَعًا مِّنَ الرُّسُلِ وَمَا أَدْرِي مَا يُفْعَلُ بِي وَلَا بِكُمْ إِنْ أَتَّبِعُ إِلَّا مَا يُوحَى إِلَيْهِ. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't know about everything. So those people who claim and say that Prophet Muhammad knows everything Allah knows, they commit shirk, type of blasphemy. They commit kufr by claiming that Prophet Muhammad knows everything. One day, Prophet Muhammad lost his camel. The non-believers started mocking him. They said to him, look, look at this person. He claims that he receives revelation from the sky and he doesn't know where he lost his camel. Then Prophet Muhammad looked at them. At that moment, Jibreel came down to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and informed him about the place where his camel is now. So Prophet Muhammad said to them, I don't know except what Allah taught me, and you find it in that place. They went and they found it there. He said to them, I don't know except what Allah azza wa jal taught me. So Prophet Muhammad doesn't know about all the unforeseen, all al-ghayb, he doesn't know about it. Allah Ta'ala qal, قُلْ لَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ الْغَيْبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. So no one knows about the whole unforeseen except Allah Azza wa Jal. Whoever claims that he knows about the whole unforeseen, al-ghayb, the whole future, then he is a non-Muslim. Like the fortune tellers and other imposters who say to people, we know about your future, come, and they claim to know about everyone's future. Actually, they say what they've been told by the devils, and the devils give them some right information, but they add, as Prophet Muhammad said, 100 lies. They add 100 lies. So how could you believe them? But unfortunately, some lay people who are ignorant, when they go to such people and they start talking to them, they say, your name is such and such, you live in that place, you have a husband and he got some habits. When those people tell this lady about some things that occur in her house, of course told by the devil, they say she knows. Then if they add 100 lies and they tell them lies, they disregard all the lies and they stick to the few facts they told her about them, and they believe them. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, man ata arrafan فسأله عن شيء فصدقه بما يقول فقد كفر بما أنزل على محمد. Whoever comes to those people, ask them about something, and he believes that they know the whole unforeseen, he becomes a kafir, becomes والعياذ بالله a non-Muslim for believing that those people know about the whole unforeseen. Everything is under the power of Allah. God is the creator of everything. That is, He is the one who brings things from non-existence into existence. This is the meaning of creating, which is exclusively attributed to God. Hence, no one is God except Allah, and no one deserves to be worshipped other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This word here, create, which means to bring things from the state of non-existence into the state of existence, create in this meaning is only used to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can say Allah created us. That means He brought us from non-existence into existence. You cannot use the word create in this meaning to other than Allah. You cannot say to a person, for instance, because you help him in his life, you cannot say to him, I created you. He was, let us say, a little worker in a factory, and now he is the manager, and you helped him to reach that position. You cannot say to him, I created you. Because when you say to a human being, I created you, that means I brought you from non-existence into existence. You can't use it in this context. But you can use the word create in other contexts, in the meaning of to produce, for instance, to make. For instance, you are using the computer, they say create a file. That means make a file. It doesn't mean bring a file from non-existence into existence. It doesn't mean that. It means make a file. Make a new one. Establish a new folder or file, for instance. That's the meaning of it. So when it comes in this meaning, it's not in that meaning, bringing from non-existence into existence. Some people might say to a person, I want you to create this thing for me as Allah created you. This is blasphemy. Because he said, as Allah created you, he committed blasphemy. Because Allah created him brought him from non-existence into existence. But when you say to this person, I want you to create this for me as Allah created you, that means you attributed the word creating to this person in the meaning of bringing things from non-existence into existence, which is only can be used to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when a person says to someone, I want you to create this for me, and he understands from this word, I want you to get it for me. I don't care from where you get it, but I want you to get it for me. In this way, it's not blasphemy. If you say, use the word create in the meanings of produce, make, then Islamically, you are not committing any mistake. But when you use the word create in the meaning that to bring things from non-existence into existence, and you attribute creating in this meaning to other than Allah, then you commit blasphemy. We stop up to here, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. We'll continue next week, and Allah knows best.